It's the second hour of The Drive with Carmichael Dave talking sports.
They're sending us a new open. I don't think I want it. I don't think I want the open at all.
I was gonna. I ended up not having time. I was gonna come in yesterday and record three different opens.
It is Dave and Kyle Madsen behind the glass. Grant Napier coming up at the bottom of the hour from Los Angeles. Matt Barrows at 8:05 to talk Niners and Jack Cooley. Action Jack Cooley of your Sacramento Kings. Always a blast talking to him at 8:35. We're gonna play airport code trivia with Grant. Grant is such an avid traveler. We're going to see how well he does when we give him airport codes. For example, SMF is, of course, Sacramento. We're going to see how many he can peel off both domestically. I mean, we might throw an international one in there as well. He is a world traveler. You were looking at me like you had to say something. I'm sorry.
I feel like he's going to get annoyed by the U.S. ones. Like, come on,
I know this. Come on, like annoyed because it's so easy.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, then let him name them off. I'm just worried, what if he doesn't know any of them? Then that would be kind of embarrassing. Like, I
hard to know this.
I'm very confident he knows quite
for
a few.
Sure.
And then we have Aftershock tickets to give away. We're going to have fun today. I wrote up a little thing last night, and I stole this idea from somewhere else, but I made my own. The FA Cup has, like, 100 English soccer teams that are involved. It's a soccer tournament. We're going to play a game, real or fake English soccer team. I played it with Kyle earlier. He did okay. I think Kyle did better than most people will actually do. The Kings.
I was batting probably like 750.
I think so, which is good.
600 maybe?
You got to get three in a row is the rule. You get three in a row, you get Aftershock tickets. So all you got to do is tell me if it's a real or fake soccer team. Clippers host Kings tonight, 7:30, pregame at 7, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. As we wind down the preseason, I mean, my goodness gracious, here we go. The season is around the corner. They've got two more preseason games, Thursday and then Friday. Tomorrow they go into Oakland to take on the Golden State Warriors, which I'm sure will be a close game. You know what it might? I could see Steve Kerr sitting everybody. I could see him sitting everybody, which may not make a difference. But I could see him just sitting everybody, saying, screw it. You know, opening day is a week from yesterday. I mean, it's here.
I'm very excited.
I'm extremely excited. We still have to give away those the grand prize, the lower level tickets to the Houston game that opening night. So we're here, and I don't know what I need to see tonight. I'm very confused. I generally enjoy preseason. I like seeing guys play, especially guys I may not see play much of the year. I don't know what I need to see. I don't know what's going to make me happy tonight. Screw a win. I think I just need to see some consistency out of the youth.
Yeah, I think seeing some shots go down for sure. We saw Justin Jackson finally hit a few, but I think he's going to be much better than he's shown in the preseason.
Apparently, according to the text line, we've already got a Jerryism. When Justin Jackson made a shot on Monday during the Kings broadcast, Jerry said, you know what, Grant, that was just in time.
Nailed it.
Yeah, maybe not his best.
Yeah, just seeing the young guys hit some shots then to give some kind of indication that, like, hey, these guys are ready. They're gonna be able to win some games this year.
I think so. And I think again, and boy would I love to be wrong. I think this is going to be a very trying, very difficult year. But unlike years past, it's gonna be one of those, well, they're not good now, but here's a path to being good. Whereas in the past it was like, well, let's grab some veterans, let's try to build around DeMarcus, let's try to make it happen. And then at the end of the year, you're like, well, we're kind of 30 wins. All right.
It always seemed to me that the Kings were aiming just to sneak into the eighth seed. They were trying to cobble together just enough pieces to say, hey, we made the playoffs.
Yes.
There was no long-term goal, and now it feels like they're building long-term. It's a lot like the 49ers.
I can tell you for a fact that when new owner, and this isn't Rip and Vivek, by the way, this is the organization as a whole, from top to bottom. When the ownership took over from the Maloofs in 2012, the unofficial motto of that franchise was, playoffs by opening day, meaning playoffs by the time Golden One Center opened. That's what they wanted. They wanted to make the playoffs by the time Golden One Center or the year Golden One Center opened. And everything was predicated towards that. And when you look back to the Philadelphia trade that Vlade made for Nick Stauskas and gave up all the picks and all that, that was win now. Bringing in Rajon Rondo and all those guys, Marco Bellinelli, that was win now, win now, win now. What can we do to bring DeMarcus Cousins veterans so that we can sneak into an eight seed? So what you said, how you felt, that was actually factual. That's what they were talking about within the halls of the franchise. Now it's let's rebuild, truly rebuild, gather assets, make our contracts friendly enough so that by the time and listen, they don't want to market this, and they probably don't want me saying this. But if they make the playoffs anytime in the next 2 years, I think that's great. That's a bonus. That's fantastic. They're really shooting for 2009. They're not shooting for this season. They're not shooting for next season. They're shooting for 2019. That's where it's at, which is why I fully expect a guy like George Hill or somebody else, I expect somebody to be peeled off at some point to replace that 2019 first-round pick. It's going to happen.
Yep.
The pick that they don't have. And for this year, I think they want to play the youth. They want to give them a chance to develop. This is very much this team, because it's five people on the floor and you're not focusing on one guy like in the NFL with a quarterback. Imagine the Dallas Cowboys when they had Troy Aikman for the first year, or the Indianapolis Colts when they had Peyton Manning the first year and both went 1-15. Get the guy experience. Let him get some real in-game action. Don't let him get injured. But plan for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their head's at right now.
Yeah, I think it has to be. I think this season is basically lost if your Zebos and your Vince Carters are playing 35 minutes.
100% agree. 100% agree. And that's going to be, and that's where the challenge is for Dave Yeager. And that's why, and we talked about this a little bit before, I had an issue with the contract extensions at first for Vlade and Coach Yeager. Not that I don't love them to death, but I was saying, well, why not wait until the summer? Like, why are you giving a last place team, why are you giving their hierarchy an extension right now? Let's see how things go this year.
Sure.
And then a smart person took me aside and said, well, let me tell you why. Last year was like a lost year. Yeager didn't sign up for DeMarcus Cousins to get traded. That got thrown on him in the middle of the year. And we don't want, I say we as a franchise, we don't want Coach Yeager to be doing what any smart coach would be doing, which is trying to gather wins as much as possible for self-preservation.
Yep.
The contract extension allows Dave Yeager the security to know that, you know what, build for the future, whether it's a 15-win team or a 25-win team or a 35-win team. It doesn't matter. You're going to be back next year. And you're going to be back the year after, too, barring some sort of craziness. They're positioning Dave Yeager to be here in 2019 in a contract year. And that's when you make the playoffs. If the Kings haven't made the playoffs at the end of 2019, and I know that's 3 years away, but if they haven't made the playoffs by the end of 2019, you'll see a whole turnover again. Yeager will be gone. Vlade will be gone. And that's not a threat. I'm not telling tales out of school. That's 3 years.
That's how the NBA works.
That's how the NBA works. And by then, Yeager will have had 4 years to not make the playoffs. Vlade will have had almost five and a half years. To be the head. And I think if they were both sitting here right now, and I said, guys, do you think if you don't make the playoffs anytime between now and the end of 2019, do you think you'll be back for 2020? I think they'd both say, if we don't do that, we won't come back. We'll step away. We'll go do something else. Like, we're obviously failing. So I think that's kind of where we're at with this season. It's just tough to go into a season and talk to your fans and your season ticket holders and say, the 2018 Sacramento Kings, we're not going to be too terrible.
Right. And it's not like they're going to go out and try to lose. They're
right.
Not tanking.
Of course.
They're trying to get experience. And if playing their young guys 25 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night leads to 42 wins and an eight seed, great.
Great.
But chances are that's not in the cards.
Kyle, bottom line is I think 90% of Kings fans are savvy enough to understand that if you win 20 games this year, but De'Aaron Fox bust out a 30-point or a 40-point game with, you know, you start seeing stuff from Justin Jackson, you're hearing good things about Harry Giles, Frank Mason's. If there's progress with the youth, I think 90% of the Kings fans don't care about the wins. They care about the effort, and they care about the future. We'll take a break. When we get back, hey, we asked you yesterday about teams under 500. Let's look at the teams above 500 in the NFL in regards to the playoffs. And who's been the most underrated offensive player this year? That's not a quarterback. We'll do that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Yesterday, we asked what team under 500 will make the playoffs. Today, what team above 500 will miss the playoffs besides the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets is cheating. that would be everybody's answer. I'm going to say the Minnesota Vikings. They're sitting at 3-2. Sam Bradford is still having issues. You saw him pulled on Monday night. And as much as I love Case Keenum, I love a story, any good story of a comeback kid who was written off. I don't think Case Keenum combined with Latavius Murray taking over for Dalvin Cook, I don't think that's going to get it done. On top of that, they're in a division with the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. So again, they're sitting at 3-2 right now, the Vikings. I think they're going to be the odd team out.
I'm going to go with the Lions here.
Ooh.
For the opposite reason, I guess. The Lions' offensive line is not very good. And I think that's going to start getting exposed here later in the season. I think they're going to lose a couple games they probably shouldn't. And I think they wind up kind of on the outside looking in with the Vikings and Packers in their division.
Whatever you say, Kyle. Second down.
Who has been the most underrated offensive player who is not a quarterback this year?
Oh, gosh. You know, nobody talks about Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen's putting up some decent yardage numbers with the Chargers on a team that just won their first game. You know, I also think Phillip Rivers every year just happens to put up numbers, whether they're good or not. Now, I'm not trying to say the Chargers are great or anything like that, but when you're talking about offensive players, and we're talking about the big running backs or Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette, who just came in, the rookies, we're talking about Antonio Brown, A.J. Green. Apologies to T.Y. Hilton, who just seems to do it every single year, regardless of who his quarterback is. I don't ever hear Keenan Allen's name. I think he's putting up a pretty decent season on a fairly bad team.
I've got two receivers here. I got Adam Thielen in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Nobody ever talks about him. He's sixth in the league in receiving yards. He's averaging 78 yards a game, 29 catches, 392 yards. He doesn't have a touchdown. But just in terms of underrated guys who nobody talks about, Adam Thielen's got to be up there. Him and Stephon Diggs are one of the best 1-2 receiving punches in the league.
And Adam Thielen, wasn't I reading that he went to like an open tryout for the Vikings?
Yeah,
and
he was a guy like that.
He was
sure.
Basically a walk-on to the Vikings a couple years ago and is now turning into an amazing receiver.
Yeah, he's outstanding. And Pierre Garçon is also having a really, really good year for the 49ers, and it's not being talked about, obviously, because the Niners' offense is so bad. But he's 75 yards a game, 6 catches a game. He's having a very good season.
Third down.
Drizzy. Visited Odell Beckham in the hospital.
Wow.
Other than Tom Brady, who are the top three stars in the NFL today?
All right. So made me think when I saw the picture, Drake with Odell Beckham, and then Von Miller of the Broncos was doing an interview yesterday and said that Odell Beckham should be the highest paid player in the NFL, period, including quarterbacks, that he is a once-in-a-generation talent that spans beyond the NFL into fashion shows and TV and all that, that he is just the most electric guy in the game. So I'm going to throw Odell Beckham in there. By the way, it doesn't hurt he's playing for the New York Giants. He's playing in New York City. That's a big deal. And then I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers
is
still out
recognizable.
There. And you know, he's not playing in New York. He's playing in the opposite. He's playing in Green Bay, but he just continues to be unbelievable. And again, I think to make this list, you have to show that off-field charisma, which kind of makes my third choice. I understand the argument against, but I still think Cam Newton is right up there. Cam Newton's a guy, despite what he did and then the crap he stepped in a couple of weeks ago, this is a guy that people flock to. This is a guy that is the consummate pitch man. And if you've learned anything by watching sports, it's that you can pretty much do everything other than murder somebody. And hey, even in some cases, murder somebody. And still get forgiven, and people forget about it when you're pitching, you know, yogurt or workout pills. So I'm going to put those three up there, and I'm going to allow for an asterisk with Newton. I'll take all arguments against
him. I used to love Cam. I was a huge Cam Newton fan, but he's just not a nice dude. And you got to have that off field kind of thing, and people turned on him.
He hands the ball to the kids, though.
Yeah, but that's fine. But he still, what he said was not okay,
so,
man.
So
for me, it's Gronk. Everybody loves Gronk. He's a total meathead.
Yeah.
But he chugs beers and spikes footballs and beers and wears a Minions hat at parades. Everybody freaking loves Gronk.
Were you turned off from Cam Newton before his comments a couple weeks ago to the female reporter? Were you already on the outs with him, or did that do it for you?
I wasn't a little bit, just because of some other things he's had to say. But that was really just like, man, that's the kind of person you are. Just the way he said it and the nature of the comments, just really for me made it hard to root for him. Because I like rooting for personalities, I like rooting for people, and he's now very hard to root for.
All right, so Gronk, two others.
I agreed with your first two.
With the first two, with Aaron Rodgers. And Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of
Antonio
cheating.
Brown might be up there.
That's true. I was listening to Geo and Jones this morning. God, I forget. Was it Hollis Thompson? Hollis somebody was on, and they asked me, I said, what do you think about Antonio Brown? I said, well, you need to stop being a little bitch.
Great point.
NFL player. Fourth down.
All right, I got to make this one quick. Panthers, Eagles, who you got?
I'll take the Panthers, surely, because this is at home. And speaking of what happened with Cam Newton last week, whether you're on or off his side, most of us are against what he said. That goes without saying. This has a weird way of bringing teams together when they face adversity like that. This team's rallying behind their quarterback. I know it's only been one game, but they're clicking a bit on both sides. I think they're starting to figure out who the hell Christian McCaffrey is. I think that's helping them a lot. Ed Dixon showed up a couple weeks ago. I think they're going to edge Philadelphia out tonight.
Yeah, Carolina's been playing really well. They're finally hitting their stride. You could tell Cam Newton on the field wasn't himself early in the year. I'm going Carolina in this one just because they're at home, and when you have two pretty evenly matched teams on Thursday night, you got to go with the home team. I like Philadelphia +3.5, though.
Oh.
Or -3.5.
Wow, yeah, because it is Panthers -3.5 tonight. You think it's going to be that close, huh?
Yeah, I sure do. I think this is going to be a very, very good game.
I'll take the Panthers to cover. We'll see who wins tomorrow when we get back. Grant Napier live from Los Angeles. Napes visits. We'll talk to him about the Kings tonight. We'll talk to him about Odell Beckham Jr. as well. And we will do airport code trivia. It's just what it sounds. Coming up in 3 minutes, Sports 1140 KHDK.
I feel really good about that one.
You should. I'm
cutting that one and using it for tape, sure.
If you ever want to leap markets and go to a bigger show,
yeah.
I would send that tape off to the program directors.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
We have Matt Barrows coming at 8:05. Matt Wheel Barrows, I would say we like to call him that. I just made that up, but that makes sense. I wonder if he was ever, I'll ask him that. I wonder if Wheel was ever his nickname, or our old friend from SackB.com. He's going to talk Niners with us at the top of the hour about 30 minutes from now. Jack Cooley also in Los Angeles, along with our next guest, Grant Napier, who will be on in just a minute. Jack is going to talk to us about preseason from a player's point of view and what Dave Yeager's been trying to do in that coaching staff. And looking ahead tonight to the Los Angeles Clippers. We also have Aftershock tickets. We'll do that in about an hour, give or take, around 8:42. We'll give you some Aftershock tickets. More info at khdk.com. We'll be playing a game called Real or Fake English Soccer Team. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Kings Clippers tonight at 7:30, pregame at 7 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I assume that's always rough. That Grant will be doing his show probably up to around 6 o'clock tonight from Los Angeles before he gets on the call with actually, you know what, Grant? Are you on the call?
No, it's radio only tonight. Okay. So I will be sitting there with G-Man, and so we'll be doing the show right up till 7 o'clock.
Oh, look at you, man. That's why you get the big bones right there. You're working
hard. I don't know about that, but I do know that, hey. I'm looking forward to it because I think that Dave Yeager, when he was on my show earlier this week, said that, you know, tomorrow he's not playing any of the vets. So, you know, like tomorrow it's like that no one wants to play. They just want to, you know, get ready for the season, but you got to play somebody. So, you know, I think this will be, for all intents and purposes, the last real preseason game for Sacramento.
Before we dive into the Kings, I wanted to mention to you, I don't know if you're aware, but Scott Pollard, former Kings player, had been on the show with me for a few days.
Yeah, he was always a how do I want to say this? two hands on the wheel when I'm driving when Scott is on the radio with you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. He disclosed yesterday, he was talking about cooking, and he disclosed that his lovely wife, Dawn, Mrs. Pollard, is half Thai and half Italian, and he called her Thai-Talian. And and now, because I had mentioned that Thai food is some of my favorite food, she's now sending me pictures, she just did this morning, of different Thai dishes. Now, I don't know. I know you're kind of worldly. I don't know if you're familiar with Thai food at all, but I just wanted to tell you, if you ever make it over there, it's some of the best food in the entire world.
Well, if I do make it over there, you know, for the, I think it would be the eighth time, I'll come back and let you know. But I don't care for Thai food because...
Really?
I'm not really a Thai food guy. No. I mean, there are a few dishes I like, but I'm not really into Thai food that much.
Is it the spicy?
It's when I go over to Thailand, you know, I will eat, you know, different. I'll eat more Chinese food. I'll eat more Japanese. They have many Japanese restaurants over there I go to. I'll eat more Japanese fish dishes and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I don't really eat a lot of Thai dishes when I'm over there.
This is the second time you've done this to me now, so let me get this straight. So New Orleans food.
New Orleans is the worst. I'll go to Thailand to eat before I go to New Orleans.
You don't like Cajun food, and you don't like Thai food. Wow.
I'm not really into Thai food. There are a couple of Thai dishes that I like, but for the most part, no, I'm not really into Thai food.
We were talking before you came on about the extension that Jaeger and Vlade both got. And I had mentioned that I spoke to a very smart person when I initially was questioning. And you know I love the both of them to death, but I was initially questioning, why do you hand out an extension now when they're both locked up another year? Why not do it this summer? I said a smart person straightened me out. Cat out of the bag. It was a conversation you and I were having off the air. Right. And I thought you brought up a pretty amazing point that part of the reason was, you know, there was a lot of turmoil last year, obviously, that nobody expected with the DeMarcus trade. And another part of the reason, too, is that with this team finally committing to a very smart way of rebuilding, that you don't want to have that pressure on the coach, and you don't want to have the pressure on the front office to win now, that you want them to feel free if they choose to develop the youth. I thought that was a great point, Grant, and maybe that reflects in tomorrow where Dave Jaeger fully understands that as much as he loves the veterans, the future of this team are these rookies.
Yeah, and in this situation, this has nothing to do with the salary cap, so really the fans shouldn't care because it's not their money.
Sure.
It would be the owners that would be wasting their money if, for whatever reason, they decided to terminate either Vlade or Dave Jaeger's contract before the duration. So it's, you know, like, okay, so big deal. You know, like, okay, well, gee, they're paying this, they're paying that. But that doesn't really, you know, hurt anything. This is the first summer in a long time, the summer that we just had, where the Kings started getting some positive press. I think that the majority of people that cover the NBA and fans in general thought that the Kings had a really good draft. Are really excited about the players that the Kings were able to acquire via the draft and elsewhere this summer. And I just think this is another indication. Dave Jaeger obviously has a really good credibility around the league for what he did in Memphis. I think that when the Kings hired Dave Jaeger, again, the majority of people around the league thought that it was a great hire. And this is just another sign of stability in a franchise that has been unbelievably unstable and inconsistent over the last several years. And so, you know, to me, there's no negative in doing this. And again, if Vivek Ranadive wanted to go in a different direction after, let's say, next year, it would be his money that he had erred with, not our money. And so I don't see any negative to it in any way, shape, or form.
Last week, the Kings announced Harry Giles will be out till at least January, and I was very pleased. I'm often pleased by how savvy our fan base is, this Kings fan base. Not everybody, but let's be honest. The good portion of Kings fans, as much as they want to see Harry Giles, understands what the Kings are doing. And I think, Grant, disagree with me if you want, but I think it shows a lot of growth and patience within the organization. And maybe they learned a little bit from guys like Joel Embiid, where you're taking Giles and you say, that's our lottery ticket. That's a guy that anything he gives us is a positive. It seems like they're being very patient and very smart with him.
Yep. And one of the other reasons is they feel they have a true diamond in the rough with this guy. there are, you know, the Kings assistant coaches have been in this league a long time. And when they say something to me, I'm kind of like, well, I will just tell you without mentioning names that when they talk to me about Harry Giles, they compare him to Chris Webber. And I was just like, come on.
Yeah.
And they go, no, he really reminds me of Chris Webber. And this isn't just one coach or two coaches. And then when I talk to other players that are on the team and veterans, guys, I'm like, wait a minute. And they all I mean, I have to stop them. I go, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Based on what you've seen in practice, you really feel that way about Harry Giles. Like, they rave about Harry Giles. And so, okay, we're in October. Let's say he doesn't play until January, February. So what? He's a young pup. He if his knees, and again, there's been no issues with his knees in practice, and he goes full tilt and blah, blah, blah. What's the harm? You know, it's not like the Kings are winning 50 games this year anyway.
Sure.
It's not like that they're – so I think that they are doing the prudent thing. And, you know, you make a great point comparing him to some of the players that you did. But the Kings feel that they have themselves a guy that could be – and again, Dave, I'm not just kidding, but I mean, I think when you look back at this draft in 3 years, you may say that Harry Giles was the best player taken in this draft. And if he's not the best player, you might say he's one of the top three or four players taken in this entire draft.
Grant Napier joining us from L.A. ahead of tonight's game with the Clippers. Pregame at 7, tip-off 7:30 right here on KHTK. And not to go too crazy here, but when you look at the depth of what the front office is doing and how smart they're being, both Vlade and, you know, give credit to Scott Perry a little bit too back over the summer, the way the contracts are set up, and we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, Grant, but looking at Harry Giles, let's say they don't play him this entire season. Well, then it's almost like you have two first-round picks coming in next year, assuming the Kings, and I think it's safe, will have a lottery pick going into the summer. And then even a guy like George Hill, they still have that 2019 draft completely open with their pick going to Philadelphia. If De'Aaron Fox develops ahead of schedule this year, I mean, you have a prime piece in George, and I don't want to trade him already, but you have a guy like that, if they decide to flip him to a contender, it seems like they have a lot of movement they've given themselves as opposed to in the past where they've been backed into a corner to continue to build this team for the future.
Yeah, because if De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason develop, and I think Frank Mason is really a guy that we need to talk more about, but you know, if De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason are capable of running the team, then yeah, then all of a sudden, you know, a team that needs a veteran point guard for a stretch drive, maybe George Hill is traded at the trade deadline in a year or maybe this year. Or I'm just saying, yeah, that's a great point. I would say the same thing is true of the other veteran players on this roster, you know, like a Kosta Kufis, like a Garrett Temple. Only if these guys are good players and, you know, when you get to the trade deadline, if a team feels like, okay, you know what, this is going to put us near the top or this is going to round out our roster, then, yeah, they have a lot of flexibility. You know, Vlade has not handcuffed the franchise with you know, a lot of long-term deals that are kind of like, you know, because what Vlade's trying to do here, he thinks that this team is going to be really, really good in 3 years.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that it's going to take 3 years to be good, but my point is he thinks in 3 to 4 years, this team is going to be really, really good. He wants to be in position at that time to have enough money under the salary cap to go out and get that one missing piece to put the Kings in a championship caliber situation. Now, will he be right? Will this team be that good in 3 or 4 years where they can go out and get that one player to kind of, you know, put it all together? Time will tell, but that's what his game plan is. And he doesn't want to get to that point and be handcuffed with the salary cap.
Putting it all in perspective as far as a turnaround, Willie Cauley-Stein entering his third season as the longest tenured Sacramento King. I don't want to use the term make or break, but is this the year we need to see Willie make the jump?
Absolutely, because, you know, the last 20 to 25 games last year, we saw what he could do. And so, okay, he's had a whole offseason. He was in Sacramento most of the summer working out with the other players. He spent an enormous amount of his time getting ready for this season. And, you know, he has not really played well in the preseason. As a matter of fact, he's been disappointing. And so starting next Wednesday, when the Houston Rockets come into town, and yeah, it's an 82-game season. It's not a one-game season, but yeah, this is it for him. This is a huge year for him, and I want to see the Willie Cauley-Stein in the last 20 games of last year, not the first 20 games or first 30 games, and there are no more excuses. They traded DeMarcus Cousins. he was, the main beneficiary of that. And so, okay, you know what? Now it's just time to get it done. So, yeah, this is a huge year for him. And he, again, he's in phenomenal shape. He seems to be in a great frame of mind. He himself has said, hey, there are no excuses. You know, it's now time for me to get it done. Yeah, he's one of these guys that has to make, I think, a really sizable leap this year if this team is going to be what Vladdy thinks it can be in a couple of years down the road.
Well, and to your point, DeMarcus was traded in February. If we go to the final months, Willie averaged 11 points and 4 boards, then followed that up with 12 points and 8 boards. And in the final month last year in April, in about a half a month, 15 points and a little over 10 rebounds. So
yep.
There's no question the talent is there. In your opinion, what is it? Is it mental? Is it playing time? What needs to happen for him to establish himself as a true high-level frontline player?
I don't think it's playing time. I think he got the playing time. And again, the numbers you just read, I'll take those numbers.
Sure.
You know, 15 and 10 every night. Are you kidding me? I'll sign up for that right now. And, you know, let's get the season started tonight instead of Wednesday. So, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think that it's just Willie, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, when you say mental, I'm not really sure what that means with him because he put in the work. I think that Willie is one of those players that maybe, and again, I'm only saying maybe because I haven't asked him this. He may think that he is a lot better than he is right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he needs to play within himself.
Yep.
Like, I think that if you ask Willie, I think Willie would, and you say, Willie, okay, we're just you and me now. We're not on the radio, whatever. How good do you think you are? And his answer might be different than what I would expect. But you see, I'd rather have a player that thinks that high of himself because then those are his goals that he has set for himself, and I'm fine with that. But I'm just thinking maybe Willie's a player that thinks he's better right now than he actually is. But as long as he keeps on working and as hard as he has, and again, the time he's putting in is unbelievable, then that's good. And and here's the other thing. He wants to be that good. And so it's all there for him. It's just now go out and get it done. Go out and do it.
Grant Napier joining us from Los Angeles ahead of tonight's game. Von Miller said yesterday he believes Odell Beckham Jr. should be the highest paid player in NFL, regardless of the fact that he's not a quarterback. Your thoughts?
No, he shouldn't be the highest paid player in the NFL for a variety of reasons. The highest paid player in the NFL to me should always be a quarterback that wins. So I'll just put that right out there. I don't even think he should be the highest paid wide receiver. You know, again, I think that in order to be the highest paid player at your position, not only do you have to produce off the field, but you have to do things right off the field. And the reality is that, you know, he's made some moves that have, in my opinion, been counterproductive to the Giants winning. His distractions off the field, such as the stupidity of going down to Miami last year on a Monday, a Sunday night and a Monday of the week of the Green Bay game to hang out on a boat. And that's fine if you want to do that. Don't advertise it around the world and put it on Instagram and social media. All right, we live it. And if you are going to do that and you go to Green Bay, don't run onto the field, you know, when it's 10 below zero, you know, without your shirt on and just a pair of shorts. Oh, and then, by the way, on the first drive of the game, don't drop a crucial third down pass. And, oh, yeah, on the next drive of the game, drop a touchdown pass. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so the guy is immature. He's a diva. He's unbelievably talented. But there's no way in the world I would give Odell Beckham that money until I know for certain, you know, that he's got the rest of the package. You know, there's a lot more to being successful in pro sports than just going, you know, out onto the field and having good numbers and looking great. There's a lot more that goes into that. Now, I'm not in the Giants locker room. Everyone tells me that the players on the team respect him, but I just think the guy's been a big-time diva, a big-time distraction. And I said on my show before he got hurt, you know, I'd rather, you know, the dog peeing and said, I mean, you know, come on, grow up. I'd rather lose without Odell Beckham than lose with Odell Beckham. That's my take on it. So should he be the highest paid player in the NFL? No, not even close.
Hey, Grant, I got another Giants question for you. Would you rather them address their quarterback situation first or address the offensive line?
Well, it depends where they are on the draft. I mean, Eli actually has been having a really good year, and I think he has probably 2 really good years left. So if you told me that the Giants are going to have a top 5 pick in the draft, then I would say, you know what, go quarterback. Now, they took Davis Webb out of Cal last year, but I don't know if he can play. So to me, quarterback, I would go if they, and listen, I don't think the Giants are going to win more than two games this year. If that, I would definitely go quarterback, bring in that guy, have him study under Eli under, you know, 2 years, and then give him the keys to the car.
Grant Napier joining us. Did Joe Girardi save his job last night?
You know, I hope not. I think Joe Girardi has proven that he's a hell of a manager. I think that Joe Girardi, his body of work in New York, both on the field and off the field, deserves a new contract. But here's what I just learned about Joe Girardi, if I didn't know this, is that the players could have just turned on Joe after game two, right? And they could have just that could have put a knife right through the entire clubhouse. And what do the Yankees do? They go out and win three games in a row, okay? And they beat what is going to be the Cy Young Award winner in the American League, in my opinion, twice, okay? And they hold on and do what they did. They just won four elimination games in the playoffs so far, and we haven't gotten to the championship series. So I said last week when they booed Joe Girardi, I thought that was a Bush League move. Now, I get it. I'm from New York. I get the Philly fans, the New York fans, the Boston fans. But I didn't think Joe Girardi deserved that. I really didn't. Was it a bad decision? It was a bad decision. But his entire body of work with the Yankees? Let me ask you, do you know of anyone that thought the Yankees would be playing in the American League Championship Series? And then go back and ask those people if they even had the Yankees making the playoffs this year. And the majority of those people would definitely say no to the first question, and a lot of them would have said no to the second question.
We only have 4 minutes left. I want to get to this. I've been promoting it all day. Grant, you are a well-known, and maybe not, maybe just well-known to me, but you love to travel.
I love to. That's my passion.
You love turbulence. You've told me before it's like a roller coaster. Everyone else is white-knuckled. You love it.
Love it.
And you recently—
Grant, do you put your hands up for turbulence?
No, I don't put my hands up. I do not put my hands up. That's a great I'm not clutching the armrest either. You know what I'm saying?
I want to play a game with you because I've said this before. Grant has a part of his brain that is different from the normal person when it comes to travel. You're the type of person that enjoys 18-hour flights.
Yep.
You enjoy airports. You grade them all. I've said before, when you retire, you should open up the Grant Napier Travel Agency with your lovely wife, Star.
Now I can hear you, but just turn the music down a little bit.
Gotcha.
I can't hear you that well.
You know, okay, I'll shut the music off because it's not as important. I want to play a game. I'm going to throw out airport codes.
Oh, okay.
Domestically. I'll start domestically.
All right, you can go anywhere you want. I mean, what would be a good percentage? What would you think would be good?
I'll tell you, I'd probably get 5%. Listen.
Well, let's go. All right, let's do it.
Because LAX and ATL, that's easy. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. What about ORD?
That is Chicago O'Hare.
That is 100% correct.
Like, obviously.
Let's see. What is CLT?
That's Charlotte.
That is absolutely right. Here, give me my replay back there, Kyle, because I'm gonna give Grant dings here. Here's a hard one. MCO.
Let's go to Orlando, Florida, boys and
girls.
Wow,
seriously?
Let's go to Disney World.
Okay, because they don't even have anything to do with the name. Like, you'd think it'd be like ORL or something.
Right.
Okay. IAH.
That is Houston Intercontinental.
I like that he has the proper name, too.
That's Washington Dulles. I beg your pardon.
No, IAH, you had it. It's George Bush Intercontinental.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had it. Okay, you overthought it.
We'll go with my first answer. Because
counts.
Okay, go ahead.
You already got the ding. Yeah, you're in. Here's one. EWR.
That's Newark.
Come on. DTW.
DTW. You got me there. Hang on a minute. DTW.
By the way, I've seen Grant work a phone. I guarantee you he's not Googling right now in case you guys are wondering. I know you're not.
Come on.
I know.
You know what? I'm not. You got me on that one.
Well, for a good reason, because I'm sure.
It's Detroit.
It is Detroit. Yes. Right. Wow. Before I can give it.
Obviously.
He gets credit for that. FLL.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale is right. Ooh, here's a trick question. MDW.
Chicago Midway.
Are you kidding me?
Let's go international. Let's get out of the country because, you know, I want to go away.
Let's
get some hard ones.
let's see. Okay. P-E-K.
Beijing.
D-X-B.
Dubai.
H-N-D.
That is the airport in Tokyo. That's not Narita. It's Haneda, I think, is how do you pronounce it.
This is ridiculous. I thought you'd do okay. Mm-hmm. Okay enough to not be embarrassed.
We're not done, are we? Let's go.
No. H-K-G.
Well, that's Hong Kong. I was just there.
I was just there, he says.
P-V-G.
Come on, man. Let's go to Shanghai. Let's go to Pudong, and let's go hang out and let's go have some fun in Shanghai. The Warriors were just playing over there against the Timberwolves.
If you missed it, because I was laughing. Not only did he nail that it was Shanghai, but more specifically, it's Pudong, Shanghai. He got the whole freaking thing.
yes.
Okay. This one I can't imagine you go to that often, if ever. CDG.
Yeah, Charles de Gaulle in Paris.
Dude, have you ever even been there?
Yeah, I was there to change planes.
And you remembered the code?
I actually was in Paris for a night. Yeah, I remember the code. Yeah, of course. Charles de Gaulle, because that's kind of confusing. It's like Rome. You know, I think Rome is FCO, and you're like, well, why would Rome be FCO? So when you, like, book flights and you look at stuff, you know, a lot of times it does go with the abbreviation. You know, of like Chicago, O'Hara is weird. ORD is weird. But, you know, ATL, hey, that makes sense, right?
Right.
You know, like DFW, that makes sense.
Dallas,
Fort Worth. But like when you go to Rome and you're like, wait a minute, why does Rome start with an F? Well, the name of the airport, you know, like why would Shanghai be, you know, PVG? Like that makes no sense, but that's just the way it is, you know?
FRA.
Frankfurt.
IST?
What, IS, what was
I, IST is in Tiger. IST.
ISP.
IST. T is in Tiger.
Oh, T. IST. Istanbul.
Let me find. Okay. Ooh. Okay. I quit if you get this. Seriously, I quit.
You quit? Well,
you also
Kyle,
quit because we
Kyle,
have.
Kyle, I need you to be a witness here. Are we recording this?
We are.
Yeah. No. Oh, this will be on the internet.
Quit what?
I'm saying no. I quit the segment. All right, ICN.
That's Seoul, South Korea.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there. Only to switch planes. I've never been to the city of Seoul, but I've been to the airport. And the reason why I went to the airport is only because it's reviewed every year as one of the top airports in the world, and I wanted to go see it. So I made a trip over there just to see the airport to change planes. I kind of went out of my way a little bit, but I wanted to see the airport. I did the same thing. Singapore is the same way, S-I-N, by the way.
Grant, I'm losing you. Did your phone mess up there?
No, I'm good.
There you go. Gotcha. Okay.
No. I was saying that I went to Seoul just to see the airport because it's one of the top airports in the world. And I wanted to see it. Same like Singapore, S-I-N.
Right.
I went to Singapore just to check out the airport.
Because, you know, normal people go out of their way hours on a plane so they can check out an airport. I mean, that's normal, Grant.
Yeah. Well, I went to Singapore. I went from L.A. to Singapore, but I wasn't going to Singapore. I was going to Hong Kong. And in order to get to Singapore, you have to fly 3.5 hours past Hong Kong. I landed in Singapore at 3 a.m, then got on a brand new Airbus 350 because I wanted to see the new airplane and I wanted to see the airport. So I killed two birds with one stone. I went on an Airbus A350
or
an A350 that's repetitive. And I got a chance to see the airport in Singapore, which is the nicest airport I've ever been to. So, yeah, I went out. It was a total of 7 hours of flying time extra to go on the A350 and see the airport.
Last one. We're so over break, but this is so fascinating to me. Last one, and seriously, I quit if you get this. I'm divorcing my wife.
I'm 100% right now.
You
right?
are 100%. You haven't missed one. Right. The only one that you didn't even miss, you overthought yourself, and then you went back. So you're 100%.
Intercontinental, yes.
B-O-M.
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 You know what? I don't know what that is, but I'll take a guess. All right, because I do not know, but I'll just take a guess and say Mumbai.
I mean, that's because it used to be Bombay. That's the only thing that is 100.
But you know what? That was only a guess. The others I all know, but that one was a guess.
Grant knows domestic. Grant knows international. For all your travel needs, seek out Grant Napier at Grant Napier Travel. Dude, I've known you a long time. I like to think I know you well. You never fail to surprise me with the you call me crazy. But there's a part of your head that I just don't understand, and God bless you for it.
That makes two of us, actually, because I have no idea. But.